All right, appreciate it, Corey. And yeah, it is not lost on me that I am the last thing standing in between everyone and beer. So I'll go quickly and make sure we hit all the high points. So yeah, probably everyone here is really familiar with what we're doing at Southern Company on the electric side of the business. You've probably all seen commercials around the nuclear power plants that were just completed, what we're doing with solar, what Southern Power is doing with wind. You may not be as familiar with what we're doing on the natural gas side of the business, and today we wanted to give you a high-level overview of how we're reaching our own sustainability goals, but more importantly, how we are empowering our customers to reach their goals. So with that, I do work for a utility. I think we're contractually obligated to always show you our operating footprint at the beginning of every presentation. But Southern Company Gas, we of course own Atlanta Gas Light, but we also operate utilities in Tennessee, in Virginia, and in Northern Illinois. We also have midstream pipeline assets and marketing companies that sell gas directly to customers. So in looking at our sustainability goals, it really falls into two buckets. One, what we're doing for our own operations, so what we can do to make our core business sustainable and ultimately reach the net zero goal from operations that Southern Company has set by 2050. So that goal encompasses all Southern Company member companies, or LDCs, and it's important to note that we will get there just like the electric side of the business will. We also, as I mentioned, are really focused on customer emissions. So the biggest part of our business is delivering molecules to customers. Typically, when those molecules are combusted, they create emissions, and we want to address those emissions as well. So solutions like decarbonized fuels, which I'll talk about more in depth later on in the presentation, as well as the ability to empower our customers to use energy more efficiently through traditional energy efficiency and some next generation technologies allow us to not only reduce emissions, but also to reduce customer bills as we're doing it. So as we approach our sustainability pathway, our journey, it really falls into three major buckets. Again, we're looking at what we're doing as a company, and it's really important to note that when you think about natural gas delivery, the core component of natural gas is methane. And methane itself is a very powerful greenhouse gas. It's about 25% more potent than CO2. So not only do we have to worry about what happens when that methane is combusted, we also have to really look and see how our core operations, what's happening as methane is released through leaks, through for dig-ins or damages on our system. So a lot of the effort that we have is really focused on core operations and making sure that we're doing things like pipeline modernization, advanced leak detection, to make sure that we're doing everything that we are capable of doing to prevent as much methane as possible from reaching the atmosphere. We're also really focused on our upstream suppliers. Most of the methane that reaches the atmosphere in the U.S. comes from exploration, or at least the methane that reaches from our value chain. And we are really putting pressure and incentivizing our suppliers to do better in that space and make sure that the fuel that we deliver to our customers has as few associated emissions as possible. And then, as I mentioned before, we're also looking downstream to our customers at ways to again, empower them to use energy more efficiently and also start to deliver decarbonized fuels in the place of traditional geologic natural gas. So, digging into operational emissions, and I'll start with kind of a summary or an inventory of greenhouse gas emissions in the United States. So I mentioned before that methane is a very powerful greenhouse gas, and on a CO2e basis, it's about 11.5% of all greenhouse gases in the U.S. inventory, so a very significant portion. If we drill into that, and look at where the man-made methane is coming from, about a quarter of that comes from the natural gas value chain. That is everything upstream to our distribution, and just all the methane that escapes the system through that process. The rest of it is coming from other sources like landfills. Enteric fermentation, the number one source is just cows. So you can think of that as cows digest grass or corn, whatever they're eating. They burp and they flatulate, and that's where that methane comes from. I'll get to this later on, but it's really important to note that natural gas infrastructure is really a solution for a lot of that those other methane sources in the form of renewable natural gas. Getting to the right-hand side of that chart, it's just kind of drilling further into that natural gas portion of methane emissions. Distribution, which is Atlanta Gaslight and all the other gas LDCs or gas utilities, only about 8% of that, but it is still a significant portion, and we make strides in addressing our portion of those methane emissions. But again, a lot of emphasis placed on what we're doing with our suppliers in production and exploration, which is over half of that value. So I mentioned this already, but the main lever that we have to pull when it comes to reducing fugitive methane is pipeline and infrastructure modernization. So we've done quite a bit in this space. We continue to grow as a utility. We're serving more and more customers. Despite that, we've reduced our emissions by about 60% for the last few decades, and that's mainly because we've gone and replaced almost all of our leak-prone materials with newer pipeline materials that don't leak as much. We're also deploying some high-tech strategies around leak detection, damage prevention, and what we call cross-compression, which is when we work on a pipe, taking all that gas out of the pipe, compressing it, putting it somewhere else on the system, instead of venting it or flaring it like we did in the past. So drilling a little bit into leak detection. In the past, a few decades ago, when we were doing a leak survey on a pipeline, it was literally someone walking the length of that pipeline with a methane detector, possibly looking at grass, looking for brown spots. If you had a leak, that escaping natural gas would kill the grass in the area. Where we've come from that point is pretty crazy to think about. Now we have specialized vehicles that are traveling around that can detect even the smallest leaks. We have satellite detection. We have UAVs. We have AI. All sorts of technologies that we are deploying in order to find leaks faster and address them faster. And this has led to much lower methane emissions across our value chain. As I mentioned before, we're also really addressing upstream. We are part of what's called the One Future Coalition. This is a group of like-minded companies that are putting together resources to improve production and exploration. The goal there is to get methane emissions from that sector down well below 1%. And most of the gas that we are sourcing now for Southern Company Gas Utilities meets that criteria. It's something that we are calling next-gen gas, paying a slight premium for it in many cases. And what that really allows us to do is incentivize those producers and create additionality with that next-gen gas. So drilling into kind of the second major bucket, customer emissions. What happens with our customers? What happens when we deliver gas to them? How do we address the CO2 that is formed when our product is actually used? Where we always start with that is the fact that no two customers are exactly alike. We really have to see what the priorities of those customers are and balance things like affordability, reliability, and utility with the sustainability goals of those customers. So with that, we've put together kind of a bevy of solutions ranging from traditional energy efficiency up to decarbonized fuels like renewable natural gas and hydrogen to meet our customers where they are right now. So probably the simplest way of addressing those emissions is energy efficiency. Atlanta Gaslight, all of our utilities have energy efficiency programs. We spend about $40 million across Southern Company Gas Utilities on energy efficiency. And the reason we have such a focus on it is because it's very cost effective. It's one of the only measures that you could really put into place that allows you to not only reduce emissions, but in doing so, you reduce the customer's bills and you actually can get positive payback on measures like energy efficiency, which isn't always the case when you're talking about other sustainability measures. So bread and butter, things like furnaces, water heaters, we're able to put in or incentivize the installation of more efficient equipment. That again reduces the amount of gas that our customers use and in turn reduces emissions. We're also working to leverage funding within the IRA to combine funds that are coming from government spend at the federal level with our energy efficiency programs to allow our customers to more wholly address their homes and businesses through things like weatherization. That improve building envelopes and the overall efficiency of the building itself. So you can combine more efficient equipment with a more efficient building, and that leads to kind of a step change in energy use to keep a home comfortable or a business comfortable over the course of the year. Taking the next step from that, our company is heavily invested in research and development. We have our own R&D group, and we also partner with a venture capital firm called Energy Impact Partners. EIP is based out of New York. Southern Company is one of the partners in the firm, and it's really focused on looking for technological solutions or early stage companies across the value chain, both on the gas side of the business and on the electric side of the business, that improve our operations and how our customers interact with our utilities. So one of the things that has come out of this effort is investment in a company called SMTI, Stone Mountain Technologies, that has created its first of its kind gas heat pump for residential and commercial use. So what this is going to do, or what this is doing currently, is giving us a water heating and a space heating solution that has an effective efficiency over 100%. So these things, when they're installed, they could reduce the amount of energy that our customers are using to heat water and heat their homes by almost half in many instances. So again, a way that we could take a gigantic bite out of customer emissions. We're piloting these right now in Illinois, where we have kind of a quicker payback on a technology like this. They are significantly more expensive than traditional gas appliances, but as we get economy of scale, we expect them to be available nationally. So alluded to this a few times already, but renewable natural gas is something that we're really excited about. It's something that the company is already invested in. We operate a renewable natural gas facility. We purchase renewable natural gas on behalf of our customers, a few of our utilities, and we are also providing programs for our customers to purchase renewable natural gas through their regular utility billing. So what RNG is, if you kind of think back to that those pie charts that I was showing with methane emissions in the U.S., renewable natural gas is simply capturing methane from man-made sources like wastewater treatment plants, agricultural applications, landfills, pretty much anywhere where you have organic matter that is decomposing. When that decomposition happens, it produces methane naturally. We're capturing that, preventing it from going into the atmosphere where it is a very powerful greenhouse gas, and instead making it into pipeline quality gas that that reduces the need for us to bring more natural gas out of the ground. So it's a triple benefit, and it actually is the only renewable fuel that can actually be carbon negative on a life cycle basis, in that you're now removing methane from the atmosphere, and as I said before, it's a much more powerful greenhouse gas than CO2. And even when you're combusting that and producing some CO2, the net effect is lower net emissions. So really powerful opportunity for our customers and something that we are investing in heavily. Wanted to do, also spend just a couple of minutes on how this works. It's really important to note that you do not need to be right next to a landfill or a wastewater treatment plant in order to use RNG. This works very similar to RECs on the power side of the business. When RNG is produced, you have physical molecules going into a pipeline, but you're separating the environmental credit or the environmental attributes from the RNG itself, and you're able to monetize those and get them to customers that want to use RNG as a solution. So just wanted to point that out is this is not a geographically limited solution. It's something that is generally available and something that we can bring to all customers. The last thing that I'll really point out, and especially since this is a rural prosperity conference, is that the benefits of RNG are multi-tiered. So it's not just a sustainability solution. It's also something that has environmental benefits beyond methane capture and removal from the atmosphere. This encourages much better management of waste. In wastewater treatment facilities, you're now monetizing a waste stream, and it becomes a very valuable commodity, and it really incentivizes using that waste stream better. Also creates jobs where you had a problem before with a waste that you had to dispose of. Now you're digesting that, creating a valuable product from it, having a fertilizer byproduct, and something that is really powerful. Especially in rural communities. And it's also a local supply solution. Right now, most of the gas that's consumed in our territories is supplied by interstate pipelines. Now you have supply that's coming locally. So there's a few landfills in DeKalb County that are interconnected to our system. They produce RNG every day that goes into our system. We're able to deliver that to our customers no matter what's happening upstream on interstate pipelines. So, putting all of this together, we're really truly taking a portfolio approach to decarbonization, and we mentioned in the intro, we think pipeline infrastructure, natural gas infrastructure in particular, is going to be really important as we strive towards net zero. And the reason for that is, we want to preserve affordability. We want to get to our sustainability goals and ultimately net zero as quickly as possible. And we want to preserve resiliency. All of these things natural gas system does, and it is really important for natural gas infrastructure and electric infrastructure to continue to complement each other and to have solutions that we can tailor for customers based off of their individual need. So, one last kind of future looking slide here. This is kind of our vision of what natural gas or decarbonized molecule delivery looks like in the future. So instead of most of our supply coming from geologic sources, we are going to be sourcing more and more gas from RNG facilities, like wastewater treatment, like landfills, like agricultural applications. And we're also going to be doing quite a bit in the hydrogen space. So I didn't talk about that much today because that's a rabbit hole that we could jump down into and spend hours on. And it's a little further off than RNG as well in many respects. But I will note that hydrogen creation really allows us to have a symbiotic relationship between natural gas and electric infrastructure, in that you can convert low-carbon electricity into hydrogen, which can then be put into natural gas infrastructure where it can be stored either in our pipeline infrastructure or underground, giving you long-duration storage for renewable power, which is something that is a huge challenge that we're all trying to solve right now. So with that, I think I'm at time. Covered a lot in a very short amount of time, and wanted to open it up for any questions. Yeah, I think we got five. Yep.
I have a mic for you.
So you mentioned DeKalb County landfills. I live near one,
And it's fascinating that that's really happening there. A real simple question, that the bulk of the material that's creating the methane gas, does it deteriorate? And it's like a contained amount of landfill material that will stay there. It doesn't seem to grow.
So if it is a capped landfill, it's going to continue to produce gas for about 20 years after that. Now, if they're continuously bringing organic material into it, it's going to continue to produce. But yes.
But it maxes out on its size, the mountain of
it. It does. Okay. It does. But we're constantly, you know, adding, or there's continuously going to be waste. So it's always going to come from someplace. Yeah, so as Frank mentioned, Georgia has tremendous feedstock opportunities for RNG. We've got a lot of agriculture here. We have a growing population, so quite a bit of waste, quite a bit of industry, and quite a bit of agriculture. Because of that, we have a lot of organic material. I wouldn't say that we're certainly not leading the pack in RNG development. I don't think it's certainly not a bad environment for RNG, you know, project development, but we are not where states like California and some of the West Coast states are that have incentivized RNG production and have RNG or legislation and programs that really promote RNG to that extent. Any other questions? All right, beer time.
All right.